two big questions today. How long will the hearts of the Jews or of Israel be hardened? The second question, what does it mean so all Israel will be saved? We're going to discuss those hard questions today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. Thank you for joining us as we are here in chapter 11, wrapping up this chapter, and I believe a division for the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. He's addressing some very difficult questions, and that is, how long will those who of Israel's whose hearts have been hardened, until when? How long? And what does he mean, and so all Israel will be saved? Let's walk through this together, beginning in verse 24. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Talking about Gentiles who were contrary to nature of the wild olive tree, if we would be engrafted in. How's that happen? Through the gospel, through Jesus Christ. It says, if that's happened to you, then how much more will these who are natural branches, which had been cut off, be grafted into their own olive tree? So we're talking about the same way, that is through the gospel, grafted in through Jesus Christ, into Jesus Christ, making up the one new man, the new creation. Now, we know that because over in Galatians, Paul explains more fully when he says that there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Let me read this to you. For he says, for in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. That's what he's talking about over in chapter 11. Though the Jews and Gentiles are one church in Rome, he's writing to them. But there's a great division among them. And he's trying to point out what he has from beginning in chapter 1, that we all are sinners in chapter 2, we all need Christ in chapter 3, and then even in chapters 4 and 5, he explains how Abraham also was counted righteous by faith and not of works. And he spends a lot of time in those chapters leading up to what it means to be free from condemnation in Jesus Christ in chapter 8. Then he grieves in chapter 9 over his own people who are not yet saved, saying, if it was possible, I would exchange with them in chapter 10. But he explains that their heart has been hardened until the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, it says, until the time of the fullness of the Gentiles has been brought in. And he explains here in chapter 11 how the wild olive tree is grafted in, and the branches who were the natural branches been cut off are grafted back in through faith in Christ, make up what he calls in Galatians chapter 5, the Israel of God, where he says that in Christ, neither circumcision, which would be Jewish, and uncircumcision, which would be the Gentiles, avails anything but a new creation. Watch verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule. What rule? The rule we just said, that in Christ circumcision and uncircumcision avails nothing. He says, but those who walk according to this rule, peace and mercy upon them, upon the Israel of God. So who are the Israel of God? The Israel of God in Christ are those who are grafted, which once contrary, into the root, and those who were by nature of the olive tree has been grafted in. Now, we together make up the Israel of God. Now, Paul's explaining this as he gets into saying those who were contrary and those who were natural have been grafted in the same. Verse 25 says, back in Romans 11, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, many Bible scholars and dispensationalists interpret that we're now in the day of the Gentiles, and in the future, God will get around to dealing with the Jewish people again. And it's based upon the idea of dispensation that Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. So he started the church age. And in fact, some dispensationalists call it an anomaly that it didn't fit. And then when the church age is over, or the time of the Gentiles is over, he's going to get back to dealing with the Jewish people. Well, I actually believe that Paul is saying the opposite. We need to understand, what does it mean in the fullness of the times of the Gentile? Well, number one, we can go over into the Old Testament and we can see that there was a limit to the time that the Israelites' hearts would be hardened. And he explains it would be up until the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. For when Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, said, "I will go and preach," God told him, okay, go and preach. And say to them, your hearts are hardened. Your eyes can't see. Your ears can't hear. And he says in verse 11, well, then how long? How long will this be? And God answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, and the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men from afar, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But a tenth, or a remnant, will be in it and will return and be consuming as a timber tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. So how long will they be hardened? He says, until the cities are laid waste. Well, we believe that happened in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. I can read you another passage where it explains that over in Luke 21. When Jesus is talking about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, when writing to the Gentiles, Luke makes it clear to understand, instead of using those Jewish language of abomination of desolation, he just simply says, when the armies are surrounded Jerusalem, the Gentile armies. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon his people. And watch this, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. We see that again in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, that the city is trampled underfoot by the nations. Beginning in around 586 BC, when Babylon captured Jerusalem and destroyed the temple the first time, and later it was rebuilt under Ezra and Nehemiah. That whole period of time is the time that Daniel saw in a vision of interpreted the vision of the image of Babylon, of Medo-Persia, of Greece, of Rome, where in Daniel chapter 2, God said, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. That happened during the time of the Roman Empire. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. And that little stone, talking about Jesus, became a huge mountain, which is the church through the kingdom, and fills all the earth. That is a picture of what Daniel saw, and that would bring an end to the times of the Gentiles. Here's what we see, that the times of the Gentiles came to an end in the destruction of Jerusalem. So once the temple was destroyed, it was proof positive that Christ seated on the throne and that the church was the Israel of God, made up of both Jews and Gentiles. How do we know that? Because he goes on to say here in verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved. The word "and so" means this is how, not when, but this is how. How are all of Israel saved? If the Israel of God, or those who walk according to this rule, That is, there's neither circumcision or uncircumcision, but new creation in Christ. Then those who are of the wild olive, which is us, and those who've been engrafted in through faith now, make up the Israel of God. And the fullness of the prophecy takes place in the rest of verse 26, when he quotes out of the Old Testament, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Yes, Israel rejected Jesus and the gospel, but Paul said even in the midst of that, there were those who were of the election because of the promise of the fathers. Just as Abraham believed God, Paul says, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, and yet I am of the election. Has all of God's people been cut off? He said, no, look at me. There's a remnant. There are those who come in by the election of grace and have done so since the destruction of Jerusalem. Today, anybody can come into the gospel. Anybody. When they read Christ, their eyes are blinded, it says, but Christ brings the liberty, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The gospel brings the deliverance. For he goes on to say, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they may also obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. In other words, there was a time he committed the Gentiles to disobedience that he might show his mercy. Then there's a time he committed Israel to disobedience that he might show mercy. That is what God is doing. Why? For God has committed them all to disobedience that he might show mercy on all. Oh, the depth of his riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He's saying, why would God do such a thing? So that he might be seen great in mercy and salvation through Jesus. Verse 34 through the end, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? You can't figure it out. You can't instruct him. He has his way of showing his glory. Verse 35, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? In other words, you can't give anything to God. He owes no man anything. He does what he pleases, that it might give glory to his wisdom. For it ends it by saying, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's what it's about, that his glory may be seen. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Wow. I'm glad today that the gospel cannot be kept out of any peoples or any nations. The deceiver has been defeated through the cross. And the Holy Spirit comes and convicts men of sin. So now today, we both Jews and Gentiles are in the grace of the Lord Jesus. I love the Word of God. Thank you for joining me today in the Word.